The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
All things covered, listeners and viewers. We back once again, Pat Peterson, Brian McFadden, and we will continue our Gold Jacket tour. Last week episode, you guys got a chance to hear from a living legend, a guy who will be inducted in the Hall of Fame in early August, and Coach Bill Cowher. This week, we got another living legend who will be inducted into the Hall, an outstanding high character individual, but he went to the wrong school, went to the University of Miami. Other than that, he's a stand-up guy, but he just happened to go to the wrong school. Fourth overall pick in the 1999 NFL draft, and this man won Rookie of the Year, took the league by storm first day on the yard. Two-time first-team All-Pro, four-time Pro Bowler, 2000s All-Decade Team, and a Pro Football Hall of Famer. We got a bunch of flowers to give him, and we will give them to him on this show. Edrin James joining me here, all things covered. EJ Manning, thank you for joining me. How you feeling?
What's up, my boy? Everything good, but like the intro, you know, you got to understand, man, y'all like our little brothers, you know, Florida State, y'all look up to us. Everything y'all do, we've done, okay? So let's do this right. So you said the right school, let's go say, hey, I understand the little brother want to be bigger than the big brother, and you got your time right, but not with us, all right? All right,
You see that jersey behind me. And you know what? In a few months when college football kick off, I got your number, you got my number. You guys got to come up to Tallahassee. And we're going to just, you know, put a nice little dinner on the line or something like that, nice little wager.
Man, look, man, listen, man, y'all ain't ready. You know it. Boy, I call you, you're not going to answer. We already know how this thing going to play out, so come on.
Yeah. We're going to see.
Boy, y'all little boys to us right now. You know that. I know that. We know that. But it's all good. Like, it's okay, man. I'll be rooting for my little brother anytime.
No doubt. Hey, that's the fun rivalry between Miami and Florida State. It's everlasting. It's not going anywhere. But I can tell you this much, EJ, man, we can't take credit for this, but we like it so much, we'll use it today to describe our conversation. As your YouTube channel calls it, and you have an outstanding YouTube channel, man, you guys make sure you go follow my guy on his YouTube page, the story of gold teeth to gold jacket. And I love that. You've been putting out some quality content. And speaking of Gold Jacket, you will be going into the Hall of Fame next month with your former quarterback, Peyton Manning. And you also will attend the same Colts game in September to get your Hall of Fame ring. What does it mean to enter the Hall of Fame with a guy you share so much success with, especially there in Indianapolis?
You know, like the icing on the cake, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, I think anybody would say just to be in the Hall of Fame, it's a whole nother level. You know, it's like, you know, we play this game. We start out at 7, 8 years old. We play organized ball. And if you look at the parks, it's filled with kids. But as you go up, you know, it gets tougher and tougher. You know, and once you get to the NFL, you know, you're playing with the best of the best. And to actually become a Hall of Famer, you know, that's a whole nother level with just within the game itself. So when there's a chance to become a Hall of Famer, that's big enough. But then all of a sudden, when you say, okay, now I get to go in with my man, you know, that's the icing on the cake. You know, it's like, hey, they done made this thing too sweet. You know what I'm saying? Like, we turned the negative into a positive. Like, we couldn't go last year, but now you got double trouble. You know, you got 18 and 32 coming through at the same time. So you already know how the Midwest rock.
No question. And speaking of, you know, being inducted into the Hall, who will be presenting you during the ceremony?
For me, I told the owner of the team, you know, it's like I told Mr. Irsay, mm-hmm. You know, Irsay is the man, you know, he's always, you know, he's the one that put all this stuff together. They really got behind it. And I think it's a nice gesture, and it means a lot to me. And I'm quite sure it means a lot to him, you know, because, you know, as a, when you go out and play ball, you know, you play for these owners or you play for these different teams, but you don't really have a relationship.
Yeah.
But we have a relationship. We have a different type of relationship. And that's somebody who have always taken care of myself and took care of many players that he just really, you know, brought into his organization, you know. So it's one of those things where you got to respect it. You know, I respect it, and I think it's the right thing to do. And for me, it's a no-brainer.
No doubt, no doubt. So let's go back in time, EJ. You know, I'm a Florida boy, so I've heard of Immokalee before. But there are a lot of people who've never heard of Immokalee. For those that may have never heard of Immokalee, tell us a little bit about where you grew up at.
Well, Immokalee is a special place. You know, if you never heard of it, you know, it's like a gold mine. It's like a place that, like, it really tests you. You know, it's one of the poorest cities in the state of Florida. It's one of the poorest places in the country. But if you make it out of there, you know, it's so you can make it anywhere, you know. But it's one of the places I take pride in, because we didn't have all the resources. We didn't have everything that other players have, which gave me a great appreciation for things, you know. And then once I was able to leave, you know, I look back on my roots and look back on all the things that it took to get there. And that's what made the place even more special.
Yeah, and then speaking of Immokalee, Pat P's current teammate, Mackenzie Alexander, he's from Immokalee as well. So you guys been known to put out big-time ballers at a consistent rate, and they're still doing the same thing right now currently there in Immokalee. Speaking of the resources or the lack thereof, you know, how did that change your purpose? You know, growing up in a very, very tough environment, not having a lot of resources, not having a lot of options, you know, how did that change your purpose?
Well, your purpose remains the same, you know, but your appreciation is different, you know. Things that other people may overlook, you know, I don't overlook, because, you know, it's a big deal to me. You know, that's one thing that I got a greater appreciation for, the things that I had access to, or, you know, I don't care if it's even taking a trip or if it's somebody doing something nice for you. You know, some people, they was used to people doing things for them. You know, I'm not used to that, you know, so when somebody do something for me, it means a lot. You know, when somebody opens a door for me, it means a lot, because I know a lot of people that I grew up with, they didn't have that opportunity, or it's not something that we even put in our mind to even think that's possible.
No doubt.
So those are things that really stand out.
And speaking of things that stood out, you know, throughout your career, not professional career, but early on, you know, collegiate career, you were known not just to be a dominant running back, but a guy that fit the Florida mold. You know, for us, We're used to seeing the gold fronts. We're used to seeing the locks, the skinny ones, the thick ones. That's part of our culture. But for the national presence, they weren't used to seeing that. So how important was it for you to stay true to your image, even though some people may look at it in a different light? Some people felt like it could have hurt the perception of who you were as a player, but you stayed true to that. How important was that for you?
You know, it was very important, you know, but at the same time, you have to remember, man, let's break everything down. What are we here for? You know, we're here to play ball. So everything, the bells and whistles, is all a lot of rah-rah-rah, a lot of, you know, it's white noise. You know, if you can play, you can play. And that's one thing, I could play. So I knew that I could play. I had the confidence to play. So why do all this extra stuff, or why get away from who I am when I understand what is really about? It's really about playing ball, you know. I think a lot of players and a lot of people, they really don't understand that I don't care what you look like, you know. I don't think in this business it's a place where racism or where you come from or how you speak or anything, it comes down to, can you play, can you perform, really, when you break it all the way down, you know. And I was able to play, perform, because I'm gonna have the locks, I'm gonna have the gold teeth, I'm going to talk like I talk, and I'm not there trying to be at this press conference. I'm not trying to be in nobody's face. So when somebody get me, they lucky to say, okay, yeah, I did that interview. Or I did, because I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in that. You know, I'm here to play ball. No and question. I kept it what it was. It was about business, about playing ball. And anybody that keeps it like that, they'll get a better understanding of how this whole thing works.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Edge, I think you're the first person, the first Hall of Famer that will have their statue of their face molded with dreadlocks, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think there's another Hall of Famer in the hall that has their statue with dreads. I think you might be the first, right?
Well, I'm the first one to come through and just, like, be me too. You know, it's like, you got to remember, this game has evolved. You know, it's a great game, and it has evolved. But business forced it to evolve, because when you look on the parks, you look at the high school players, you look at the college players, you know, they are who they are. And as a culture, we're opening up. We're getting more comfortable with being ourselves. And on the other side, they're doing business. Like, they don't care what you look like, as long as you can perform, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's what it's about, because at the end of the day, it's about bottom line. This is not the Army or Navy where you have to be a clean cut, you have to look a certain way. It's about what can you do, you know? And so I understood it at an early age. And now everybody's understanding it. You know, it's like you kind of open the doors. You know, you say, oh yeah, you're the first person with this. I'm not going to be the last person with it, you know?
No question.
The door's open now. You know, it's like people going to be coming through that thing, you know, rocking locks, rocking all the different things that they deem as themselves. You know, more people are being themselves, and the league is adjusting to it. You know what I'm saying? So everybody's getting hip. The owners are getting hip. Everybody's getting hip. You know, we brought a lot of flavor. You know how we brought that flavor to Florida State? We brought flavor to y'all. That's how we did it, you know? We forced it, you know what I'm saying? And we made y'all kind of, you know, kind of duplicate what we do.
No. So you talk about flavor. We had the ultimate flavor guy in prime time, Deion Sanders. So you talk about brought flavor. No. You know, prime time was a trendsetter in the late 80s in Tallahassee. So don't do that, EJ. Don't do that, Edge.
That's one guy.
That's the best guy you can have. That's the number one guy.
And that's one guy, and he's from the 239 area, you know what I'm saying? So we but we talking about as a whole. You look at the University of Miami, the way we do things, the way we did it, y'all started doing it. You know what I'm saying? You know it. You know what I'm saying? Hey, switch your pride to the side. Y'all like, we the big dogs.
we gonna see, but I can't tell you this. You guys did some big time things in Miami. And speaking of Miami, let's go to the Butch Davis tenure. I mean, when you were at Miami, that was pretty much in the beginning of Butch Davis turning that program around. You helped set the foundation for the dominance in the early 2000s. But how would you rate the state of the program when you first got there?
Well, you know, you get to the program and you got to understand the things that the program goes through. That's what everybody don't understand with the University of Miami. The University of Miami, every time it was down, it went through something. You know, when we went through, right before Butch had to build that program back up. Mm-hmm. You know, because, you know, I think everybody would agree the best football players come from the state of Florida, and South Florida put out the best youth programs, the best high school. And if they put out the best youth programs and the best high school programs, if those guys don't leave the state, it would translate to the best college programs, mm-hmm. you know? Yep. And that's what ended up happening. People started coming down and plucking our guys and getting our guys. But we went through, you know, the suspensions and the limited resources and the limited scholarships. So that's what really hurt our program, you know? Other than that, you wouldn't see those guys go to the Alabamas and go to all those other schools because they'll be home, mm-hmm. you know? That's what they know. But, you know, things got a little rough down there. And that's every time you see the University of Miami take a dip, it's because of sanctions or because we're going through something, yeah. you know? And that's what usually happens.
And I can tell you this much, you definitely were a vocal a player in the turnaround, because I remember coming up in high school, you know, Miami was like, you know, they weren't that consistent, dominant program. And then Butch came and you came. And I can tell you one thing that kind of turned the program around. And you may agree, you may disagree with me, but I was at this game, that UCLA game where you were just putting up video game like numbers. It was so easy for you. The second to last game in a Hurricane uniform, you had 39 carries for 299 yards, 3 touchdowns to beat at that time UCLA, who was ranked 3rd in the country. What do you remember about that game, and how did that elevate your stardom, not only at Miami, but nationally?
Well, I think it's one of those things where it's like the opportunity, you know, it's whereas if guys don't get suspended, you know, if guys don't get suspended and everybody has a play, now I'm getting my same amount of carries. Mm-hmm. I'm still the same person. You know, I'm still the same person. I'm still the same back. I'm going to test the way I test, you know, when it comes to the NFL. You know, you can't take my hands away. You can't take nothing I've done away. Yeah. But at the same time, you have to understand that, you know, the opportunity was presented. And I seized the moment. You know, I took advantage of it. Because at the same time, like, the player doesn't change. It's just the situation change, you know. And at the University of Miami, you know, any time you're at the University of Miami, that way we have so many good backs because everybody gets to play. You know, it's not one thing where we have this dominant running back and he carries all the ball. I mean, he carries the ball all the time. And that's what everybody don't understand. You know, like when you look at it, like we share the ball. We make sure we spread the ball out and we make sure we spread the ball around.
Yeah.
And that's the only difference, you know, because if I would have been getting those carries during the season, you would have been known about myself, you know. Mm-hmm. But you can't, you know, if this is the way the program runs, if this is the system that we're in, you can't do nothing about that. So it's just a situation where, okay, you know, preparation, opportunity meets. They're going to call you lucky. They're going to call you this and that. But you got to be that guy to run the ball 30-something times.
39. Know?
Yeah, you got to be that dog. So for me, it was like, shit, damn, about time I get a chance to run the ball. So, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
About time I ain't got to split this thing. You know what I'm saying? So now it's where, okay, now everybody get a chance to see it. It's like, y'all been in the dark, but in hindsight, that helped me. That helped me because I never took a toll on my body. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? I only played 20-some college football games. I didn't play a lot of college football games.
Wow.
You know? And that helped me. You know, you got, you know, during the whole thing, you know, it was a comparison between myself and Ricky Williams. Mm-hmm. That was never a personal comparison with me or him. It was everybody just doing their job.
Yeah.
I played 40-some games. I only played 20-some games.
Mm.
You know, a running back only has so many carries in their body, you know? It doesn't matter what. So when you start breaking everything down, you start looking at it and say, okay, dang, this kid legit, he can do everything because I could always do everything. But, you know, I didn't get a chance to prove it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. And speaking of the games you played in over 20, you had 497 total carries. So, yeah, definitely. You jumped into the NFL fresher than some of your contemporaries at the running back position.
Younger and fresher.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's not one of those things where it's like, you know, can you do it? Because, shit, you know I can do it, but I wasn't put on display. You know what I'm saying? So I finally got a chance to get put on display. And, shit, you know, one thing you know about a Miami Hurricane, we know about a moment. We're still a show. You know, we'll sit up there and say, hey, shit, this is our opportunity. We take pride in that. You know what I'm saying? So that was like going into that game knowing that, like, hey, this is your opportunity.
You see so, the moment.
Yeah, that's what it's about. Because the player is the player. I run what I run. I run how I run. I ain't do nothing different.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Hey, real quick, numbers-wise, you had 497 total carries. Ricky Williams had over 1,000 carries. He had a lot of wear and tear on his body just before he got to the National Football League. So big-time point coming from you, EJ. So you got drafted in 1999. You were fourth overall, as you stated. But the year before, the same team, the Colts, they drafted Peyton Manning first overall. Do you remember the first time you met Peyton Manning and what were your impressions of him when you met him?
Well, like me and Peyton actually had this story, you know, like I was getting recruited by agents during the whole process, you know, so, you know, part of the recruiting process, the agent had me come to Madison Square Garden, go to a Knicks play, this Knicks Pacers playoff game.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy sitting behind Peyton Manning, you know what I'm saying? But I'm not knowing it's going to be my teammate, you know, but he on the third row, I'm on the fourth row or something like that. We had the game.
Yeah.
And so I don't really know this dude or whatever. And then I'm not, you know, now we kind of prideful down there, you know, at the U. We like, man, we ain't stepping to this dude. Like, hey, what's up or whatever, you know? So I don't say nothing to him, you know? I'm just there. And I just like, dang, I'm behind Peyton Manning. It's cool. We watching the Knicks game. I'm getting recruited by these agents. And then fast forward, you know, 4 or 5 months from there, or 2 or 3 months, whatever it is, playoffs till the draft, that's my teammate now. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the whole thing comes. Like, we had this conversation going from there. And he's like, hey, man, why don't you say something to me? You know, like, that ain't my style. You know what I'm saying? But now it's become my teammate. And we go to work. And we go to be brothers forever. So that was actually pretty cool.
No question. And talking about going to work, EJ, I mean, your rookie year, you jumped off the porch running. You wasn't crawling, you wasn't walking, you was running. Out the gate in the NFL, you had two 100-yard performances on the way to 1,500 yards, the rushing title, Rookie of the Year. Why did things click so quickly for you? And were those numbers like the success? Was that you were expecting that type of success early on in your career?
You know, it's one of those things where, like, first of all, you're going to a team that was 3-13. Mm-hmm. So nobody expected that. But you linking up Peyton Manning, Marvin Harrison, everybody hungry, everybody working, and the missing piece to the puzzle is the back that can do it all. You know, so I come in a situation where I'm the missing piece to the puzzle because everybody else steady improving, working on their game. And so, you know, you go through and you have this success, you do all those things, but you got to remember where I'm coming from. I'm expecting to have success. You know, this the NFL thing was easy to me. You know, it was like, it's a game. You know, all this thing as a running back, it's always been a game, you know? And like I was born to be a running back. The way I'm built up is a running back. You know what I'm saying? Running back or linebacker, that's one or the other, you know? So when I go through and I play the game, it's a piece of cake for me. And now we all link together and everybody's strength come get being put on display.
Man, listen, and that's the thing about how well you performed, because that was a bad team, like you said. I mean, back-to-back years, they had top five selections. The first overall when they got Peyton, fourth when they got you. So clearly they were going in the wrong direction, and you guys basically changed it with the blink of an eye. And you just set the foundation being able to establish a balanced attack on the offensive end. And when you look at during your early career in the National Football League, you had a lot of outstanding running backs. You know what I mean? You had a lot of guys that can tote the rock. But when you look at what you were able to do, there's a rumor that you kept the list of the top 20 rushers in your sidekick at that time. And remember, back in the day, sidekicks were the hot thing. Everybody got iPhones now, but sidekicks were the hot thing. How much did records motivate you?
Well, you know, like, I think even to this day, like, you have to measure yourself. Mm-hmm. I measure myself every day. I don't care. It's like, I don't care if a person doing personal training, they're trying to get their weight down, or if a person trying to get their financials together, you need measuring sticks. Measuring sticks is what move us, you know? And so for me, it's like, if I'm coming to a game and this is the best, I need to see everybody that's the best, you know, and see what they're doing. See how they go study everybody. And that's one thing I did. Like I don't take it lightly. You know, it's like, I respect everybody, you know, and out of respect, you got to sit up there and study everybody. You know, you got to set time to study them. Okay, if you want to be a good business person, you say, okay, these are the guys that I'm, you know, always find somebody to chase. And that's what I did. I saw a list of the greats. I said, okay, these are the greats. All right, this is what I'm going to do. So I had a chart all the way from Emmitt Smith, Walter Payton, everybody broken all the way down. And I said, look, I'm just going to climb this chart. And yeah. I kept, you know, and I made it all the way to the top 10, you know, but then I had other stuff that go on in my life personally that made me just kind of lose the thrill for the game. Mm-hmm. But I always say, okay, look, I want to go to the top five. You know, I made it to number 10, but my interest for the game and personal life kind of got me off of that, you know, where it didn't become important to me. But all my career, I knew what everybody did, when they did it, because I said, okay, look, only way you're going to be the best, you got to monitor those guys and you got to do what they do or do better.
Oh, big time words right there. No question. You currently sit at number 13. So that's still at the top, if you're asking me. When you look at all the elite running backs that have played in the National Football League since the beginning of time, you currently sit at number 13. So that's top notch. Let's go back to one of the best coach teams I think you were a part of. Back in 2005. I mean, you guys were 14-2. Had the number two offense in the National Football League, had the number two defense. You had 1,500 yards and 13 touchdowns. Does that 0-5 loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers still hurt the most?
Oh, me, it's like, I don't, football doesn't hurt me. You know, I'm realistic. I understand that game. If we play that team again, there's no doubt that we would beat that team. But the thing is, we play that team. You heard me. I said, there's no doubt that we would beat that team. But the problem is, when you play a team twice, you know, we beat y'all in the
Monday night in the regular season.
So we beat y'all in the regular season. So it's kind of one of those situations where you kind of let your guard down. You're thinking like you're going to go through this. But y'all came through real hungry. Y'all came through super hungry. And
it was personal.
Yeah. So that's the difference, because we had the better team, you know? We had the better team. But y'all played better on that day, you know? It's I can look at that guy, I know that game, you know what I'm saying? But it's like you have to be on your shit every day. Yeah. We didn't come motivated. We didn't come through saying, okay, this we had just played y'all. So y'all made a couple corrections. And that's the thing about it. So you learn from those things, though, you know, because we had a real good team, you know. But
yeah, y'all was stacked. Think about this, Edge. That team, that offense, I think y'all had three Hall of Famers on offense. Four. You, Peyton, Reggie, Marvin.
No, I'm saying that's what I'm saying. Like, but y'all can't. That's the beauty of the game. Like, the beauty of the game is, like, man, look, you can lose any day. You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all came through, like, personally knowing, like, y'all came through with a different intensity. You know, we played y'all in the regular season. Y'all came through hitting harder in the playoffs. Y'all came through more focus, you know? And I give props to that team. I'm like, man, they came through, like, it meant more to them. And the score showed.
Yeah, I can tell you this much. When we played y'all Monday night, we were sleeping at the wheel. That's why the playoff game was so personal, because we knew we were a better team, but y'all got out on us quick. A lot of deep plays. I mean, big time splash plays. We just couldn't get out our own way. So when we came back in that playoff game, number one, offensively, we wanted to be more aggressive. Defensively, we wanted to make sure we try to find a way to neutralize you. Because when you run into football, Peyton gonna do whatever he wanna do. And Peyton gonna do whatever he wanna do anyway, but it's harder, as you know, trying to stop an elite quarterback when the elite running back is getting off as well.
Yeah, y'all was more. That's why I say, man, y'all came through motivated. Like, we can agree to disagree on the better team, but that was one of our better teams that was put together. That was both sides of the that was together.
I agree with you. Y'all was stacked. That team right there on defense, y'all was stacked on both sides.
We was a stacked team right then, and that's why I say, man, but y'all came in with a bigger purpose. And if you look back on that game, you go through that game, you see all the mistakes that we made, because it's like, you know, we know this stuff that we don't normally do. But my hat's off to y'all, because in the NFL, you got to understand that regular season to playoffs is two different situations. And I experienced that with the Tennessee Titans, you know, early 1999. You know, we beat them. No, I mean, we played them, but when they came, and they came hungry, they was hitting a little bit harder. They was doing things. They were a little bit more focused. And then by the time we wake up, it's too late.
Offensive
teams just run out of time.
And you know, NFL, it's one and done. You don't get a chance to play again like the NBA, baseball, or hockey. It's one and done.
Exactly.
Yeah, no doubt. You were part of a culture change in college at Miami. We talked about Butch Davis' tenure when you jumped on board with the Hurricanes, kind of helped change that culture. But in the National Football League, you were part of another culture change as well. When you left Indy, you ended up going to Arizona. And at that time, Arizona was, you know, very, very inconsistent. They were in rough shape when you got there. How did you try to create a culture, a positive culture there? And I know, you know, you weren't a vocal guy, but clearly, you know, people followed your footsteps based on the success you had at Indy, not just as an individual, but team success. And you were able to kind of change the direction of that organization. How were you able to do that?
Well, it's more of, man, people watch what you do, you know? And so it's more about the way you go about things. Like, when I left Indianapolis, I didn't leave my workout or my work ethic or any of that stuff right there. You know, I continue to work. You know, I continue to do the things that I do that help me become successful. And I think a lot of people gravitate to those things. And the mindset is like, you know, when I got there, if you lose a game, it wasn't a bigger deal to a lot of players. And I'm like, nah, this is not what's up. Like, nah, we don't lose. You know what I'm saying? Like, I never been a loser. You know what I'm saying? So this is the first time I got to experience this. And it does a lot to you mentally. You know, losing can break you mentally, you know, and it can make you say, okay, look, just start looking for excuses and accepting it. And it's like, this not me. You know what I'm saying? Like, nah, I play ball. I play to win. And you have to have those conversations in the locker room, away from the coaches, around the players, and be like, look, dog, this not what's up. And, you know, the good players going to gravitate to it. The players that really feel that way, they going to gravitate to the losers. They going to get in these little corners. And they're going to talk about the coaches and the system and this and that. And they're going to do all this thing. But the winners, they're going to look for solutions. And mm-hmm. I didn't come to Arizona just to get a check and just to be part of that losing. You know, I'm like, dog, we have the ingredients. We have everything it takes. So everybody need to do what it's supposed to do.
And speaking of, you know, you said people watch, you know, the great ones. I like to read a quote from you. I don't know when you stated this quote, but it's a cool quote, and it definitely plays a part in what you just said about working and grinding. You said it's 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm in the club. I used to see dudes from the other team, and they're looking at me like, oh, all right, it's cool. Edge out here partying too. So it's not a big deal, right? But what they didn't know was I'd be leaned back, sipping on some cranberry juice, right in the same type of cup as their liquor was poured in. We leave the club, everybody else going to their crib to pass out, but I'm in the gym at 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning by myself putting in work. While they were sleeping, I was grinding. So that just tells our listeners and our viewers the perspective that you had, you know, being able to hang out, party, but the grind never changed. How important was that for you throughout your professional career?
Well, it's very important because like it shows a lot of discipline. Mm-hmm. And you have to understand, like, okay, like I believe in omnipresence. Omnipresence is being everywhere. You know, I'm not gonna sit up there and put myself in a position where it's like, oh man, I'm not gonna go out because, you know, I might drink or all these things, the negative things might come. No, I'm saying, I'm going to go out and I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to do all those things, but I'm not going to miss my chance of enjoying life either, you know? So kind of double dip, you know what I'm saying? I go out there and I can be around you. I can be there and be fun, have fun with the boys. You know, like when you're in Miami, man, like it's the off season, like dog, we put in a lot of work to get here, you know? And the fruits of your labor is nightlife, hanging out, getting with your peers, you know, like we, like me and you, we doing a Zoom call, we doing a call right now, we still gonna talk about when you was at FSU and I was at Miami. That's part of like you like putting all your stuff on display and you talking about the things we've done to overcome these situations. So it's good to be around that type of energy, but I don't have to put nothing in my body, you know what I'm saying? And most people can't do that. You know what I'm saying? Most people can't sit up and say, man, shit, it's the off season. Ain't no fucking coach going to tell me what to do tomorrow, or it's not mandatory. That's when it comes from right here. That's why I'm a Hall of Famer. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's why you see, like, dudes sit up there and say, man, look, you have to discipline yourself. You know, I'm going to go and I'm going to hang with Uncle Luke. I'm going to hang with Trick. I'm going to hang with everybody in Miami. And we're going to have fun, but I ain't drinking. I don't want to drink. You know, so I'm an athlete, you know.
Hey, and that's the thing about the great ones. The discipline is just second nature because you want it so bad. You know what I mean? You want it so bad. You don't have any other options, and that's what you're chasing. You remember you said earlier you had to chase something. You're chasing the great ones. You had a goal set for you, and you were able to achieve that goal because of that type of discipline. When you look at, you know, Arizona, your time in Arizona, I mean, instantly the switch changed. You guys were successful. Made it to the Super Bowl to meet the Steelers again, my Steelers again. But when you look at that game, EJ, what is the biggest what if moment to you from that game?
Well, you know, that the game itself, I think overall, we probably should have won that game. We would have stayed intact. Like Steelers played some good ball, but if you look at that game, you see like going into halftime, you know, you got to think, that's like a two-touchdown swing when
no question. We
interception. Imagine we just get the three, you know? Imagine we don't force it, you know what I'm saying? So it's little stuff like that. But I think overall, the Steelers, they've been there before. That's what they do. The Cardinals were happy enough to be in the Super Bowl. That's the difference. Yeah. You know, it's like you look at it a lot of time in sports. The people that are there, that's known to be there, and that's what they do. Like, you see the Patriots, they know they're supposed to be there. They expect to win. You know, the Cardinals, hey, shit, we exceeded expectations. You know, we've done this and done that. So win or lose, it's a win for us. So it meant more to the Steelers, you know. And it's like those little things that didn't happen in our favor, those are things that the great teams find a way to do. They find a way to make that play. They find a way to kind of seal that deal. And if you look at the history of sports, it holds true. The Steelers been there. The Cardinals, like, man, we we was there, you know what I'm saying? We was happy to be there, but this is not where we expected to be there, truthfully, you know what I'm saying? Because we put in a lot of work, had the team, but, you know, it was like, kind of like, you look at it like a content type of situation.
Yeah, yeah. And I can tell you this much, Edge, you guys kind of caught fire at the right time. But like you said, historically speaking, that was an organization that wasn't used to being in those type moments. So Sometimes for some organizations, what people don't realize, some teams just happy to get there. Like, yo, we've outkicked our coverage. We overachieved. So it's not about winning it. We just happy to be in the moment that you're currently in. So I understand definitely where you're coming from saying that. Look at your career, Edge, man. You had over 300 rushes in 7 seasons. In the past 2 years, only 2 running backs per year have had over 300 rushes. So when you look at the running back position right now, currently in the National Football League, you know, who are some of the guys you enjoy watching? Because you were a do-it-all type running back. You caught the ball well, you ran the ball well. But when you look at the nature of the running back position right now, you know, when you look at some of the elite guys, who do you really enjoy watching? Who kind of reminds you of yourself?
When you're talking about remind me of myself and the guys who I like watching, you know, that goes twofold, but like, I like watching Alvin Kamara, you know, mm-hmm. I like Dalvin Cook. And Dalvin Cook, I watched him in high school to watch his whole, you know, watch him transform, you know, because
when he Florida was a state high, guy, by the way, Florida State.
But yeah. We sent him down there. We was on the probation. So we sent him up there, a gift. We gave y'all a gift. But watching that guy play and watch him turn into one of the top guys in the league, that's like a beautiful sight. When you get in this position, you like, you know, we deal with the youth programs. Mm-hmm. You watch the guys and say, and watch them develop and watch them grow up. You say, okay, that guy has what it takes. I used to watch Devontae Freeman in high school and say, hey, yep, he has what it takes. You know, so when it comes to guys like that, you look at them from a different reason. You know, when I look at a guy that kind of reminds me of the way he run, the way he finished, I like Zeke, you know. Mm-hmm. I like Zeke, you know, like he finishes strong. You know, he finished with that low pad level, tough, gonna get everything out of a run. You know, when I watched that guy run, I said, yeah, he's not there, you know, he's trying to punish you, you know what I'm saying? He's trying to finish that run strong. So I look at things like that, you know, so it's a lot of great guys, you know, but it depends on what you're looking for, you know?
No doubt. Hey, it's funny you mentioned Zeke, because if Zeke had number 32, the same type face mask that you wore, I mean, you can see the similarities in the running style, the body style, you know what I mean? The measurables, the speed, the quickness, and just the unique ability to always fall forward. That's one thing Coach Kyle used to tell us all the time. Great backs always fall forward.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They always find a way to fall forward to get positive yards. And Zeke has that same element, something that you had. So that's the good comparison there, man. If he had number 32 with the same face mask, that's a little baby EJ is what they would probably be calling him.
Nah, he's doing his thing, man. He's Zeke, man. You know, like, shit. You know, every man are their own man. You know what I'm saying? But if I look at it, I like his running style.
Yeah. 2 more questions for you before we transition to the superlative part. What are your expectations for the Colts this year? Especially with Jonathan Taylor in year 2, a bruising type running back, and then adding Carson Wentz, man. What's your expectations for the team this year?
Well, the team has all the ingredients, you know, and that's what it is. You know, they have like a great defense. You know, they're putting everything together, and the quarterback play, the way the quarterback and the receivers mesh, that's going to be the difference in the season. The running back, he's already jumped out and showed that he's capable and he's a legit running back. So that's not going to be a problem. But the relationship with the quarterback and receivers, because they're new, you know, mm-hmm. The defense is going to be the defense, but the relationship between the quarterback and the receivers is what's going to make or break this team, because they still got to go through Tennessee, you know? And so the AFC South is going to be those 2 teams. It doesn't,
no question.
It's not going to change. The other 2 teams, they're not there yet right now, you know? So they got too much controversy, and the other guy, Jacksonville, got new quarterback, all that stuff. So you're expecting a rookie to be a rookie, you know, but they have to go through Tennessee, and if the quarterback plays well, the Colts play well.
So you're saying, bold prediction, you're saying bare minimum playoffs should be destined for the Colts?
It's between them and Tennessee.
Colts,
Tennessee determines everything.
No doubt. It's a 2-team division. in the AFC South, like you mentioned. So yeah, the Colts definitely got the makeup to having a deep run. Last question for you, man. You got two outstanding athletic sons. One of your sons is starting to pick up some basketball offers. Your other son is picking up football offers. Being the Hall of Fame dad that you are, what type of guidance are you giving them during this recruiting process for them?
Well, for them, for me, is, you know, I always look at it and I go back to the way I just work. All this stuff right here, I think a lot of kids get caught up in, oh, I'm a 3-star, 4-star, 5-star. That's all, like, it's fake. It doesn't mean anything, you know? You know, it's good for publicity. It's good, pat on the back, but just work, you know? You know, just continue to work. And when it's time, you'll know that it's time and you'll produce. So don't get caught up in, I'm getting recruited or I'm this neck. You can get recruited at 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade. It doesn't matter, you know? It's about what you do and where you end up. You know, so all I want to do is continue. I tell my kids, just continue putting in that work.
No doubt. So a few questions, superlative part, where I hit you with rapid fire questions, Edge. I want your honest, unbiased answer. We had Santana Moss on the show some weeks ago. We had Antrell Roll on the show. We asked every Hurricane player we've had on this show the same question. Miami Hurricanes, Mount Rushmore, who are the 4 best players to ever play for the Hurricanes?
I'm the worst person to ask that right there because, you know, with me is it's so many guys that I'm not gonna put nobody above the other because everybody does things different. You know, what's the situation? You know what I'm saying? That's the way I answer. Okay, what's the situation? You know, situation kind of determines, you know, what player you put up there. Because if I got to sit up there and say I'm going to war with something, okay, let me know the situation. Then I'm going to give you players that fit that mold, you know. And I'm going to say, okay, these are the guys that can handle that task. But there's some other dudes over there that can handle another task.
Okay, so let's do it like this. Who are the 4 guys that you believe change the program?
What changed the program, you know, like?
Put the program on the map. It could have been in the early 80s, mid 80s, 90s, 2000s. But guys that when you talk about Miami football, you don't have a conversation without mentioning their name.
Well, man, I'm the wrong person to ask because I ain't putting nobody down, man. Okay. I'm not going to answer that because there's too many guys that some people did things that people don't even understand how important they are to the program.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. So let me ask you this question. With the new NIL rules being in place, name, image, and likeness, who would you have been sponsored by in college if you were able to make money off your name, image, and likeness? Who would you have sponsor you?
Name, image, and likeness. I don't know, probably a strip club.
Hey, back in them days, what, the Rolex?
Hey, back in the days, man.
Coco's?
They wouldn't allow it, but man, like, that's the spot that you go. Them the spots you go, you say, okay, somebody that, people that love you, appreciate you, and they know you, like, cheers. When you walk in there, everybody know you. Man, that's who I want to sponsor me, man.
Gold Rush.
Hey, man.
Okay, that's fair. I know you're heavy in video games. Favorite video game ever?
Oh, I used to like NBA Live, man. Like
NBA Live.
Yeah,
hey, man, the kids nowadays don't even know why in the NBA Live. It's only 2K, but NBA Live used to be that thing back in the day.
Yeah, man, you'd be playing with the Phoenix Suns, man. You'd have the Phoenix Suns. You'd just wetting that thing all the way around. So NBA Live was my game.
Okay, last question for you. We're going to let you go. Top 4 rappers from the state of Florida or South Florida?
Man, I don't like to put no top. Anybody from Florida, I'm pulling for you. You know what I'm saying? Ain't no top this or top that. Because when I'm in the 239, I'm
you
cool
listen to
with,
Plies?
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm over here. Shit, Trick Daddy. Like, I'm not going to put up, like, man, I'm all for it.
Just tell me who you rocking with. Like, you know, when you listening, a certain vibe, you know what I mean? Who you listening to from Florida?
Everything Florida. Like, I'm pulling for everybody from Florida, man, because, like, I work every area of the state. You know what I'm saying? Like, strictly down here. I'm all around Florida, you know. So when you talk about Florida, man, I'm with Florida because I'm speaking that language, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We live life. So anytime you see somebody successful from Florida, like, hey, that feel like that's my brother, my cousin, you know, as a feel like a family member, you know, because we just different, you know?
Yeah, any up and comers people should be listening to or get ready to listen to on the music standpoint when it comes from the state of Florida. Anybody you've been kind of peeping that the rest of the state haven't really heard about yet?
My daughter, Hiana J. Like, my daughter, we have a studio. You can hear about her. She's singing R&B. So, you know, everything with us in-house, boy. So get ready. You're going to hear.
Wow, I didn't know that. I didn't know you had a daughter who had the vocals.
Yeah, because you know what? We make it sure when it come out, it going to come out just like Edge. Expected, you know?
Jumping off the porch. Jumping off the porch running.
Just like me. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to think. Nobody knew that I was who I was, mm-hmm. but I was always who I was.
No you question. When her project dropping? When it's going to drop?
In the next couple months. Right now, I got her. She opening up for like the little baby concerts that we're doing right now. Mm-hmm. So she got another one on August the 13th. Then she come to Tallahassee to Florida State Territory.
Yeah.
You know, in late August. So we opening up. It's a progression. You know, we're doing everything the right way, but she legit. You know, if I bring it out, trust me, it's going to be right.
Hey, man, that's dope right there. That's dope, man. Keep us in the loop with that because, you know, we don't just talk sports on our show. We talk music. We had Fabulous on during the season. You know, we had Chanel West Coast. So, you know, Master P. So, you know, we like to highlight all things. Hint the name, All Things Covered. And before we let you go, Edge, man, you're an entrepreneur. Man, you do a lot that's not football related, a lot that's not sports related. Man, fill the fans in a little bit on what you're doing from the business side of things, man. It seems like you have your hands in so many different things and everything you touch, it hits. Like you said, like your rookie year, you came off the porch running. Everything that you touch in the business side is a big time hit, man. So fill us in a little bit about what you got going on.
Well, man, like I do things that I enjoy, you know. So I'm in the nightlife, you know. Mm-hmm. Of course, I have clubs, and I'm part of multiple ventures that we actually frequent and the things we like doing, you know. So those things right there, that's a given. The real estate, I'm always being involved in real estate, yep. Clothing, apparel, you know, but if anybody interested in what I really have going on, truly follow my Instagram because that's what I use it for. I use that platform to actually put everything on display and you'll see things that you may be interested in. Some things may make you cringe a little bit, but Edge is Edge. We live in life. We doing what it take and we're doing it right.
Yeah. And I think you one thing you always put on your Instagram, you say, create the life you want to live. Did I say it the right way?
Yeah, create the life you want to live. It's like, you know, it's one of those things, you know, you sit back, it's a mindset. You know, it's like, yeah, a lot of people, they sit back and wait on something mm-hmm. or they try to create something and they'll alter it or they say, if it was me, I would do it like this. And I'm like, hey, don't wait till if it was you. Make it you. No do question. It right. My lifestyle is based upon all the things that I enjoy. What I like doing, and I've created this whole little thing, and that's why I'm enjoying my life, because I'm not doing things that I don't want to do. And once you create things that you want, you know, you're most likely to be in a happy place.
Hey, man, wise word coming from a wise man, a Hall of Fame man, by the way. And his Instagram name is at Ezrin James, man. Definitely go follow him. You can learn a lot, not just from the athletic standpoint, just from the life. The business side of things, man. This man's been a success, man, since jumping out the crib, man. So he's doing big things. And check out his daughter as well. She will be opening up, you say, for a little baby, right?
Yeah, you'll see it. That's Hiana J, at Hiana J. You'll see it. You know, like, I don't have to force feed things. I don't have to force feed people things.
Yeah.
You know, the world tell you if you're good or if you're bad. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to continue to put good things out, good product out, good businesses out. And the world would tell you if you're good or bad, you know, and that's my philosophy.
Hey, I love it. I love it. Man, EJ, man, thank you for joining me here on All Things Covered. Pat Peterson, Brian McFadden, man, a quality sound conversation coming from a living legend who will be inducted into the hall. Hey, Edge, are you gonna have the dunk up in Canton? I know you're going to bring some Florida flavor up to Ohio, man. What you got planned?
Man, we trying to do something, man. We seeing what's up, you know. Like, I got it, you know. It's is ready, you know. It's like, hey, anything I do, man, the culture's with me. You know, like, I don't do things outside of, you know, my comfort zone. So the dunk is in place, you know, Florida's in place. You know, it's just been a little, it's been a little different because you couldn't prepare the way you prepared before, you know. And so we made a lot of alterations to kind of pipe down, because if it would have happened when it's supposed to happen, it would have been a Florida invasion. You know what I'm saying?
I already know.
You know, now we just got to kind of just make the best of it, you know?
No doubt,
but
man.
It's forever. It's immortal. So everything we do is Hall of Fame stamped.
Hey, say no more. Say no more, man. Hey, man, it's a pleasure, man. Can't wait to, because I will be in Canton, because, you know, we got a few Steelers going in. BC, dang, Donnie Shell, Alan Faneca, and who I'm missing? And Troy. Yeah, Troy. Troy Polamalu. So we definitely. We
deep, man. So it'll be a good time, man.
You know, no question. It'll be a great time. It'll be a great time. No question. Yeah, no question. No, hey, but thank you for joining me. And don't worry. We're going to have that Miami Florida State bet too. So you answer your phone. Talking about me, don't answer my phone.
How about you bet right now? $5,000. Say bet.
So what? I don't even know who my quarterback going to be. I'm not going to make that bet just yet.
I said 5 stacks right now. Say
I'm not bet. Making, I'm not making, listen, no, I'm not making and that bet right now.
Hey, and we coming to Tallahassee. Hey, one thing about it. Well, one thing about the hurricane, man, we come with confidence. We already see how you backing now. No.
Hey, you got to understand something. Edge, hold on, wait a minute. Edge, we won 5 ball games last year. So I'm not saying that we're going to come in and be a real beaters year, the second year with our new head coach. But what I'm saying is we're going to compete and it's going to be a different story. But I'm not willing to put that on the line just yet. I haven't even seen us play on the grass yet. We got first game, Notre Dame. Yeah, we can reanalyze this when the season start, but we
hey, you said all that to say no bet.
No, that's I'm not saying we ain't gonna bet, but I'm not saying I ain't jumping out there with 5 bands out the rip. No, I got to see what. And, hey, one thing about gambling, you know this. You can't be a fool and you can't let pride get the best of you.
Man, you the one. I didn't ask you to bet. You brought it up to me, so I'm just telling you, man.
Like you did.
Five racks or nothing, man. Don't even worry. All right, man. It's good talking to you, man. We link up.
Yes, sir. Be safe. Appreciate you.
All right, cool.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.